Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you have saved us by your grace alone. As we look now further into 1 Peter, helping us to live lives in this world for you, open our hearts and minds and help us to understand how to do this in a way that glorifies you. Amen. And now, when I was in primary school, we learn a lot of stuff, but one thing that stuck to me was a poem. The only poem I know and I've actually liked was written by a lady called Dorothea McKellar. It's almost 100 years old, and here's just one stanza of it. It says, "I love a sunburned country, a land of sweeping plains, of rugged mountain ranges, of droughts and flooding rains. I love her far horizon. I love her jewel sea. Her beauty and her terror, a wide brown land for me." Now, can anyone take a stab at what land she's talking about here? Australia. That's right. Australia is quite a unique place. We have Uluru, a rock in the middle of nowhere. We've got the Great Australian Bight, the Great Barrier Reef, the Great Dividing Range, which for some reason is blue and not green. And not just the land, but the people here in Australia, we're a special breed. We're a people that like to do things the hard way. We're the underdogs that never give up, that never seem to die. We count even our losses as wins. We're a country united by sport. And as a sign of respect, we call our best friends names that other countries only reserve for their worst enemies. And we stick it to the man. See, I love being Australian. I think I'm pretty good at it. People around the world look at Australia and they say, that is where I want to be. That is a place I want to live. But when people arrive here, to be able to survive and do anything, they must conform to the way that we do things, at least to some part. Whether it be a complete life transformation or something smaller like driving on the left side of the road or being ripped off by fuel prices. And this doesn't just happen in Australia. It happens wherever you go, and it's happened across time as well. And Peter, he understands that to live somewhere, you need to conform at least to some of the locals' ways. Now, the Roman Empire, where Asia Minor was located in, had a way of doing things. It's called the Household Code. And Peter told the people in Asia Minor that yes, they are God's elect. They are a royal priesthood. They do belong to God, and yet they are not to live outside society. They are to live within it. And that means following this household code. Following this code meant following a chain of command. Quite simply means you submit to those above you, and those below you submit to you. Now, Peter takes these people in Asia Minor through three different areas that affect them greatly. Three ways of doing things that Peter, he doesn't necessarily say that they're the best way of doing them, but he says that's how society does them, so that's how we need to do them too. We're going to look at all three of these in turn, and I'm sure that you'll find out that the way that we do things today is not all that different to how they did them back then. And if they are, then the basic concepts still apply. Peter's first area, it's really quite general. It's to all Christians in Asia Minor. And you'll see it there in verse 13. It says, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor or as the supreme authority, or the governors who are sent by him, to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right." Now, we don't have an emperor, but we do still have a queen, and we do have governors, whether that be the government itself or the police force. And to live within society, we must submit to all of them. Truthfully, at times, it's quite easily. They say don't murder, I'm down with that one. They say don't take drugs, I'm also quite happy to follow that rule. It's when you get to the little things, that's when it gets harder. You know, they say don't speed. I look down at my speedo, and if I'm within 5Ks, I don't really care. They tell me not to jaywalk, and I do that pretty much every day as well. See, we need to think about everything that we do, not just the big things, because really anyone can do the big things. We also need to think about the little things. You don't just need to be a mediocre citizen. We need to be a great one. And submitting to authority means submitting to almost all of their rules. I say almost all because there is one reason not to submit. That is when the governing authority, what they say and what God says, clashes. And then and only then do you not submit to human authority, because you submit to God first. Peter helpfully goes on to give more reasons why you should be submitting. Have a look there. Verse 15 says, "For it is God's will that by doing good you shall silence the ignorant fools, ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live lives as God's slaves." Now, this is a quite interesting part of the passage. What is ignorant talk of foolish people? And how are we supposed to be free people while being God's slaves as well? The two seem to clash. Both the answers to these questions are closely linked. See, foolish people are those who do not know that Jesus is the way to salvation. And their ignorant talk is denying the facts and talking about other ways to righteousness. And see, we are free from this foolishness because we understand that Jesus is the way to righteousness. We speak of no other way. We are slaves to God because he has saved us from eternal damnation. And because we are free of this eternal damnation, because we know that if we do wrong, we will be forgiven. That doesn't give us a free pass to do whatever we want. It is not a reason to be mediocre citizens. It is because we are not the foolish people, but we are saved by Jesus on the cross, that we need to attempt to be great citizens. By submitting fully to human authority, you know, people actually notice. Trust me, people notice when you take an extra 30 seconds to walk up to the lights, or you're 2 minutes later than everyone else because you kept to the speed limit. And so I ask you, what will push people away from ignorance and foolishness and towards the freedom in God? Submitting to the government or just doing whatever the heck you want? Now, as Peter moves through instructing the Christians in Asia Minor how to live godly lives within society, he narrows down his pool of people that he's talking to. Peter moves to talking to slaves submitting to their masters. Now, Peter, he doesn't mention anything about how masters are to treat their slaves. And this is because the Christians in Asia Minor, they were on the bottom end of the scale. They didn't have slaves. And so this was not an issue. Now, when we think of slaves, we automatically think of the American slaves that are getting beaten day and night. And while there is an element of that there, there are also slaves who chose to go into slavery because they were living on the streets with no food or security. And being a slave, when they had a roof over their head, they had meals every day, and they had security. Being a slave, a lot of the time, was like having a job. And now, this submission, it looks a little bit different to the one we just looked before. See, slaves were told to submit not to the fear of their master, but to fear of God. And so what does this fear of God look like? Fearing God, it's got a respect feel to it, more than a trembling feel. Now, my dad, he's got a thing about touching his walls, and I think it's because they leave handprints on them. Now, if you ran up and down our hallway with your hands in the walls like I did many times as a child, he would yell at you. And so if you didn't want to get in trouble, you don't touch the walls. But if I was doing something, if I was installing a PowerPoint or putting some shelves up for him, and I accidentally touched the wall and I left a handprint on the wall, now he wouldn't be happy, but he wouldn't yell at me because he knows I wasn't trying to do it. But I slipped up, and because, you know, I'm a greasy ethnic, I leave handprints on everything. You know, he would simply wipe the wall down because apparently I don't do it correctly. And he'd tell me to be more careful next time. You see, now I don't run up and down the hallway with my hands on the walls because I'm fearful of getting yelled at. But I do know that Dad will forgive me for a mistake and fix it for me when I'm obviously doing my best not to touch the walls, knowing that Dad doesn't like it and he has the authority to yell. See, that is the fear that we are to have for God, one out of respect, knowing the punishment that sin deserves is God's wrath, but understanding that if we do our best not to sin, even though we're eventually going to fail, and trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus, God will hold back his wrath and forgive us. Excuse me. See, that is reverent fear of God. That is how slaves are to submit to their masters, in that sort of fear of God. Now, this mission for us, especially here in Australia, is a little harder to get our heads around. Because how often do we think that we know better than our boss? Or our way of doing things are better? And how often have we done the classic smile and nod and then just go and do what you want? I mean, I obviously don't do that anymore. But Peter says that submitting to people in power over us is commendable to God. It makes God proud. Even more so if we do that under suffering. Now, don't hear me wrong, because we don't have to put up with bullying or racism or sexism or ageists or anything like that. There are things in place to protect us from that. But if your boss comes to you and tells you to do something, even though that Barry over there is doing nothing and he's done half the amount of work that you do, just do the work without complaining. If you don't get praised for doing something that you think that you've done really well, you just get over it. No, we don't do things to get praised by man, but we do them to give glory to God. And if you do stuff up, if you make a mistake at work and you get in trouble for it, Peter says that that's our fault and it's not actually commendable to God. And if you do cop a bit of slack, don't bite back. Take it on the chin, because that was Jesus' example. That's what he's done for us. I think Peter says it better than I ever could. In verse 22, he says, "He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. But his wounds have been healed. For you were like sheep gone astray, but now you have returned to your shepherd and overseer of our souls." See, we are submit to our bosses and those above us at work. And we do this for God's sake. And it will have the effect of attracting people to our faith in Jesus with the possibility of them being saved. And then Peter continues on. Moving through this section, Peter continues to narrow down his pool of people that he's talking to. And he moves to speaking to wives submitting to their husbands. And more specifically, wives whose husbands are not Christians. Now, even though Peter neither commends nor rejects wives submitting, I want to take a brief moment to think about, does society still think wives should be submitting to their husbands? Is this a biblical way of thinking? And how should it work in the perfect world? Well, does society think that wives should be submitting to their husbands? Now, I'm going to say yes to this one. Now, don't get me wrong, women, they need their rights and they should be paid the same as men. But inside the marriage, society still says that the husband is the head of the house. And is it biblical? Again, yes. Ephesians 5:22 and 5:24 both instruct wives to submit to their husbands. Now, how should it work in this perfect world? See, wives are to submit to their husbands, and husbands are to honor their wives. So submitting and honoring, they usually go hand in hand. Most of the time, one person submits and honors another. Submitting is putting yourself under somebody else, doing what they decide is best, even if you think you know better. While to show honor is to lift somebody above you. Think of them first. Do what is best for them, forgetting about yourselves. See, wives, they are to put themselves underneath their husband. And husbands are to lift their wives back up above them. So now that we've looked at that, and we've got that all sorted, we'll continue back through this text and Peter instructing wives, paying close attention to those without Christian husbands. Wives are to submit in the same way slaves are, meaning in the reverent fear of God because it is commendable to God. And wives with non-Christian husbands, well, they submit for an extra reason, to show God's glory to their husband. You may not be the best evangelist, and your husband may have asked you to stop talking about Jesus. So Peter says, to be the silent evangelist, submit in such a way that, how does Peter put it? They may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. Peter continues on, and he mentions clothing, and he says, not to wear extravagant clothing and gold. He is not saying that you cannot have nice clothes and look beautiful, although it would have been helpful if he said to buy them at Target instead of Meijer. He's simply saying that you need to be more attractive because of your personality than your choice of outfit. And if you need to look at someone as an example of submission, look to Sarah. Now, I'm not sure if you've read Sarah's story lately in Genesis, but Sarah is sassy. She's a strong, independent woman who submits to her husband, Abraham, even when he makes some silly decisions. The Roman Empire says wives submit to their husbands, and so Peter says to the wives of Asia Minor, to live within this society and glorify God, you too also submit. Today's society still says wives submit to your husbands, and so Peter says to you, wives, to live within society and to glorify God, you also must submit. Finally, Peter, in verse 7, turns to husbands. Now, wives, I'm not sure if you've picked up on this, but every once in a while, husbands have it easier than you. And this was the case even in the Roman Empire, because husbands didn't have the problem of non-believing wives. Wives automatically took on the religion of their husband, and so would have been going to church and hearing the gospel over and over. Peter does tell husbands to be considerate. Men, get your pens out. I'll spell that for you. C-O-N-S-I-D-E-R-A-T-E. It means think about their feelings. Treat them with respect and look after them. Society says that that is what a good husband is to do. And so to live within society and glorify God, Be great husbands. Peter sends a message to the Christians in Asia Minor, one that rings true to us today. We are to live within society in much the same way society lives. And that means submitting to the government, submitting to our bosses, wives submitting to your husbands, and husbands honoring your wives. We are to do all of this in a way that brings glory to God and people to Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to live in this great country. As we do so, as your elect, as beacons of light for your kingdom, help us to submit to those who we need to in order to glorify you. Help us to show Christ's love to all around us in the actions and our deeds. Amen.